Good morning, everyone. It's good to see you all again and to share together in this way. It's strange times, but it's great to do the best we can, and lovely to see you all once again, although we'll not be shaking hands or having hugs or anything like that, and we miss all that, but we're doing all right. It's good to share the Word of God today with each other and just to meet in this way. The reading this morning is a very familiar portion of Scripture. It's Luke chapter 10, verse 25, the parable of the Good Samaritan. Luke chapter 10 and verse 25. Let us hear the word of God. Luke 10, 25. And behold, a lawyer stood up to put him to the test, saying, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And he said to him, "What is written in the law? How do you read it?" And he answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And Jesus said to him, "There you have answered correctly. This do, and you will live." But he, desiring to justify himself, said to Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among robbers, who stripped him and beat him and departed, leaving him half dead. Now, by chance, a priest was going down that road. When he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. He went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and he set him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And the next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper, saying, 'Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, I will repay when I come back.' Which of the three do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers?" And he said, "The one who showed him mercy." And Jesus said, "You go and do likewise." Today, not many people know their Bibles outside groups like this, but everybody seems to know the story of the Good Samaritan. Interpreting it is not all that easy, and you get a lot of different interpretations, and I'll mention some of them as we go through. The early church, they had their people like Augustine and Origen. They used a thing called allegory to interpret this parable, and that meant that you found a meaning for every single little thing. So it varied a bit, but basically the man going down from Jerusalem was Adam, having sinned against God, put out of the Garden of Eden, going down into sin. He's beaten up by the devil and the demons. Jesus comes along and rescues him, and with his own blood saves the poor man. The donkey is the gospel, and the church, well, that's the inn. The inn is the church, and the innkeeper was the Apostle Paul. And so that was the way that some people in the early church. It has the obvious disadvantage that it leaves it up to the interpreter how ingenious to be. And I noticed that some early sermons were preached that went into even more detail. Not only was the donkey the gospel, the donkey had 4 legs, and that was the 4 Gospels, and the tail was the Acts of the Apostles. were really left it up to you to decide allegory. There's nothing wrong with allegory, of course, if it's meant to be an allegory. The Pilgrim's Progress was meant to be an allegory, and a wonderful story it is. But to interpret this parable, it's important to keep the context in mind the whole way through. And the context is a question from a lawyer. A lawyer stood up to put Jesus to the test, saying, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" These lawyers had nothing really to do with law courts, guilty me, Lord, and that sort of thing. It just was a person who studied the Bible inside out. And young lads like this from an early age, one of the great things in Israel is the annual Bible quiz. And some of the questions would make your mind boggle, and they answer them like that. Even the prime minister is involved in these quizzes. People, especially the general public, they know their Bible very well, especially the Old Testament bit. But this lawyer would have studied the Bible from the earliest age. These guys could tell you that in the Pentateuch, there were 5,845 verses. They knew there were 79,856 words and 400,945 letters. They studied their Bibles inside out. And so this man knew the Bible. So when Jesus said to him, "What shall you do to inherit eternal life?" he assumed that he had eternal life through his studies. And so he quoted the Bible. And he said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your mind and all your soul and all your strength, and your neighbor as yourself." And he quoted these verses, and he actually wore them in these little boxes each day. And so all of this was very familiar to him. But the fact that Jesus made him answer his own question embarrassed him a little bit. It looked as if he'd asked a question that he knew the answer to. So a little bit embarrassed, he decides to show his knowledge by asking a better question. And he says, "Who is my neighbor?" And this was the context for the story that Jesus told. When the people heard that the man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, it was a well-known journey. And you wouldn't often do it alone, because it was such a barren area. It's one of the areas that people gasp at when they're even traveling along that way in a bus today. So you see, I remember on one occasion the bus driver being so close to the edge of a precipitous cliff that people jumped from one side of the bus to the other to get away from the steep drop. I remember somebody landing on my knee. That was quite a surprise. But that was the sort of area that this man was traveling in, extremely dangerous and not unusual to fall among thieves. Some people called it the blood road. It was so dangerous. And so Jesus continues the story, and the people there, they all had in their minds now, they all knew exactly where he was and what he was talking about, and there was no surprise so far. And then he says, "By chance a priest was going down that road, and he passed by on the other side. He didn't do anything to help." And there were thousands of priests in the Jerusalem area, and many of them would live in Jericho. We don't know why he didn't help. Various suggestions are made, but it's not an important part of the story. The fact is, he didn't help. And he was one of the foundation of the Jewish religion. He was the priest. And the Levite was one of the ones that would have done the odd jobs and also been very involved. And they both passed by on the other side. That little phrase, "passing by on the other side," is one of the best known parts of the parable. It appears in Twitter, Facebook, the House of Commons, the House of Lords, I'm sure the Doyle as well, because politicians love that little phrase, "passing by on the other side," Tony Blair. saw himself as the Good Samaritan. He said, when I see people in trouble, I don't pass by on the other side, you know. Nicholas Sturgeon, in a very angry speech, blamed Cameron. What, David Cameron? Yeah, blamed him. When he saw trouble, he just passed by on the other side. He said, I am angry, very angry with this man. He is like the priest and the Levite. And so this part of it is very well known. But are they missing the point of the story? Because the context of the story is not just about passing by on the other side. It's how do I get eternal life? And these people, the priest and the Levite, they were the ones that were supposed to show the way to eternal life. And eternal life involved loving God and loving your neighbor. It involved keeping the law in every detail. But here, the very custodians of the law were not keeping the law. And so the people who were showing others the way to eternal life, if eternal life depended on keeping the law, depended on loving God with all your heart, and depended on loving your neighbor, then they didn't have eternal life. So the whole story that Jesus is telling is saying to the lawyer, you think you've got eternal life, but if eternal life is keeping the law, in every detail, do you? And of course, that was a very powerful thing that we learn in the Bible, that the priest and the Levite couldn't fulfill all the law. Nobody could. The only one who fulfilled it perfectly was Jesus. And so this priest who could trace his ancestry all the way back to Aaron, and the Levites could trace their ancestry all the way back to the early days of the tribe of Levi. They didn't have eternal life. They couldn't keep the law in every detail. They may have been very good at doing certain things, but sins of omission. We're reminded in the book of James that he who knows to do right thing and doesn't do it, for him it is sin. So these very religious people were sinners. They didn't love their neighbor, and therefore they didn't really love God in the way that they should. And along comes another person. There were a lot of stories told in those early days that would involve a priest, a Levite, and so far the people were all with Jesus and they knew what was coming next. The next one would be an ordinary citizen who would show the priest and the Levite up, an ordinary Israelite. That's what they were expecting. There were stories like that around, a priest, a Levite, and an ordinary citizen. And then Jesus threw the spanner in the works, if I could say that. He totally, he shocked them by saying, and the next man that came along was a Samaritan. And so we get the story, the Good Samaritan. He came and he saw a need, and he met it out of a heart of compassion. You might expect a lawyer to say, wait, no Samaritan would do that. But you know, he couldn't do that. He knew his Bible. Did you know that there's a Good Samaritan in the Old Testament? There is. And so he couldn't say this never happened, because it did in the Old Testament. There was a serious war between the north of Israel and Judah. And the people of Judah were totally wiped out. They were, those that were left were wounded, half naked, they had no shoes. And the people of the northern kingdom, they were based in Samaria. And they brought them to Samaria to sell them as slaves. And those that were dying, they were left to die. And suddenly, a man from Samaria stood up called Oded, a prophet. The word Oded in Hebrew means the encourager. And Oded said to them, what you're doing is not right. You prayed for help in this battle. God gave you help. Now you need to treat these people properly. And this is what they did. The men rose up and took the captives, and with the spoil, they clothed all who were naked. They clothed them, they gave them sandals, they provided them with food and drink, and anointed them and carried all the feeble among them on donkeys. And where did they bring them to? The city of Jericho, the city of the palm trees. Then they returned to Samaria. So you do have a good Samaritan in the Old Testament. And so the lawyer couldn't say this never happened. This unusual love and concern for a total stranger, an enemy even, in the Bible is called compassion. Do you mind a wee quick Greek lesson? Here's the word for compassion. Splanknitsomai. Splanknitsomai is a very powerful word. It is something that means you're moved totally inside. It's actually translated, I think, in the Authorized Version as, in one case, as bowels and mercies. It's your inner movement. This is deep stuff. It's a full concern, a deep inner love for somebody he doesn't know. He's showing love for his neighbor. I know we don't want to get into allegory in this case, but I think it's very fitting that the person who was telling the parable, was the one who showed splanknitsomai more than anybody else. In Matthew 9:36, it says that Jesus was moved with splanknitsomai. He was moved with compassion when he saw people like sheep without a shepherd. And I'll come back to that a wee bit later. Hopefully I will. Do you know, the last time I was preaching a sermon, I said I'll come back to that, and I never did. But... But give me a shout if I... Most embarrassing, since the whole thing is on tape and all the rest of it, you know. But anyway, I will come back to that one. So the splanknitsomai, this inner concern and deep love for somebody he didn't know, he bound up his wounds, pouring on them oil and wine. He set him on his own animal, presumably a donkey, not necessarily. He brought him to an inn and took care of him. And even to this day, you can find on the road the Inn of the Good Samaritan, which is now a little museum for mosaic floors from the ancient past. Probably not the same place, but don't mind that. He probably took him to Jericho, I would think. It looks a very unusual sort of place to have an inn. But anyway, tourism being what it is, you still need an Inn of the Good Samaritan for the gullible tourists who want to have one. So the application of all of this depends on your own perspective. And I'm interested in another politician who had an entirely different approach to it. Margaret Thatcher, capitalism. She said the whole thing about the story was that he was able to help because he had money. He was able to pay the 2 pence, which is a tiny bit at the very end of the story, but she made that the whole part, and she said she focused on his resources. So I was listening to a program about her just 3 weeks ago. I was interested to hear one of her former aides saying, Mrs. Thatcher wasn't strong on compassion. And so that bit she left out of the parable. So people tend to interpret this whatever way they want. But compassion is one of the main things that is coming through. Not money, but compassion. And certainly there's people like Martin Luther King told this story in great detail and described how he'd been there and his own journey down that road. He deliberately went there with his wife, and they enjoyed that, and he showed how that Jesus showed compassion, and we therefore, if we love God, must show compassion to other people. And even today, Black Lives Matter movement, if you look up the web, you will see reference to the Good Samaritan. So I think compassion is one of the things that Jesus was bringing through, that if we really love God, then we'll show it out. We'll show it to others through our lives. Jesus asked the lawyer, which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell among robbers? Do you know, he couldn't even mention the word compassion, nor could he mention the word Samaritan. Because basically he was a racist. He hated those Samaritans. And Jesus had ruined his day by bringing that into the story. What had a Samaritan got to do with eternal life? It showed that he himself was not someone who loved his neighbor. Not if it was somebody you didn't like. The neighbor to him was somebody you liked, one of your own fellow lawyers, one of the scribes or Pharisees, but not this Samaritan. And so he says, the one who showed mercy on him. And Jesus said, well, then you go and do that. But there was no chance. He never could. He didn't have eternal life. He couldn't keep the law. The one standing before him was the only one who ever kept the law perfectly, who ever showed perfect compassion. The Good Samaritan the lawyer wanted a set of rules to merit eternal life. He wanted to do things. He wanted to do something that would make him worthy of eternal life. Jesus' teaching showed that we are not worthy of eternal life and we can't do anything. He showed the importance of living in love. And he showed that love without holiness is not true love. But holiness without love is not true holiness. The late Professor Gooding pointed out on one occasion that the book where you read, "You shall love your neighbor as yourself," is the book of Leviticus. And it's full of laws about and regulations about sacrifices and all the rest of it. And yet in that very book, there's also a message that God calls us to love. To love him and to love others. Holiness, as Leviticus teaches, involves love. And that love comes from God. That love is like living in a relationship with God, responding to others in the light of that love, and rejoicing that our names are written in heaven. The famous theologian Karl Barth said that when Jesus said, "Go and do likewise," he was saying, "Follow me. Follow me." The one who came with the compassion that Patrick was talking about, compassion that led him to the cross of Calvary. That compassion, that great love that led God himself to come from heaven and die for you and me. That is just beyond human comprehension, beyond anything that we could live up to. But today, when we put our faith in him and put our trust in him, the true message of the Good Samaritan becomes real. We find eternal life in the one that compassion led him to the cross of Calvary. And if he showed such compassion to die for you and for me, to make the eternal life that the lawyer so much wanted. Everybody wants eternal life. But it's only possible through Jesus Christ and through what he has done. There isn't a set of rules that we can keep and say, "I have merited eternal life." We were born in sin. We don't deserve it. We don't deserve that compassion. That man lying at the side of the road, the Samaritan didn't know whether he was a good person or a bad person. He may well have been a racist. If he'd been anything less than half dead, he probably would have said, "Don't touch me, Mr. Samaritan." You know, but the Samaritan didn't ask any questions. And when God comes to us, he doesn't ask any questions. How good were you? Where were you brought up? Or what school did you go to? His compassion reaches right down to people who we're born in sin and shapen in iniquity. And you know, as I close off this morning, it's important for us to know that this Jesus who showed such compassion is alive today. He's here with us. He sees the situation that we are in. This is the bit I didn't want to forget. Whatever is facing you today, the Good Samaritan story teaches us that among us there is one who showed more compassion than any Samaritan ever could. And he is alive today. And he still has compassion. He sees what you and I are going through. And he doesn't look on us judgmentally. He looks on us with compassion. He loves people. Oh, I hope the world learns the lessons that God is teaching us just now. But through it all, here this morning, Jesus is here among us. And he loves you, and he loves me. And when he sees us going through hard times, his heart is moved with compassion. And whatever you're facing today, you're not on your own. There's one who loves you, and he'll see you through. Keep holding on. Keep trusting him. Never forget, he says, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Even if you don't remember Splach Nidzumai, remember there's somebody that loves you and he cares for you and he'll never let you go. He'll love you to the very end.